Britain has gone into full lockdown until February in response to a new, more highly contagious strain of the coronavirus. All schools and colleges are closed. People are ordered to stay inside their homes except for trips to the doctor or to the grocery store. Here's Prime Minister Boris Johnson announcing the measures yesterday.
With most of the country already under extreme measures, it's clear that we need to do more together to bring this new variant under control while our vaccines are rolled out.
Cases of that variant have been confirmed in four U.S. states, including New York, yesterday. But is the U.S. taking this new strain of the virus seriously enough? I want to bring in Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist with Georgetown University. Dr. Rasmussen, welcome. And what do you think about that question I just posed? Are we taking it seriously enough?
So I think we are and we aren't at the same time. I think that we are in the sense that we have been alarmed by the emergence of this variant. We're asking the right questions, such as will the vaccines work against it? And we're beginning to do the types of research that will answer that question. We're also focusing more on at least acknowledging that we're not doing enough genomic surveillance, and that's why we haven't detected it until after it was already detected in the UK, where they do have a very robust genomic surveillance program. So that's all well and good. But I think that we're not taking it seriously enough and that we're not addressing how we can prevent becoming infected with this variant now. And that is really acknowledging the fact that this variant may be more transmissible, but it's not being transmitted by some new route of exposure. The same measures that we should be applying to reduce transmission of any variant of SARS coronavirus 2 also apply to this. So I think we're really missing an opportunity to double down on our message of exposure risk reduction by wearing masks, physically distancing, increasing ventilation, et cetera.
I think this is important, and it can also be confusing to people because we're hearing that the variant may be more contagious, not necessarily more deadly, but more contagious. But what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that if I'm in the presence of an infected person, the window of time to get infected is different? Does that mean that if I'm outdoors with an infected person, it would be easier to get? I mean, what does more contagious actually mean?
So right now, we can't answer that question because we actually don't know the mechanism by which it is more transmissible, just that it is. The reason we know that it is more transmissible is that very, very rapidly, it essentially outcompeted all the other variants that were circulating in a given area in the UK. And this was so rapid, in fact, that it really can't be explained by just there was more of this virus. It seems to have some sort of competitive advantage for spreading in a population. But we don't know exactly what gives it that competitive advantage. And it could be a number of different things. It could be that people who are infected are shedding more virus. It could be that the virus is persisting in the environment for a longer period of time. The virus particles are more stable. It could be that it's more efficient at infecting cells. We just don't know. And we're doing the research to determine that right now. But at least, you know, it's very important to note that this virus is less pathogenic, or it's as pathogenic as any other variant. It's not more virulent than anything else circulating, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to cause fewer deaths, because right now our healthcare system is really stretched to its breaking point. So if we have a variant that's even more transmissible, that's going to mean more SARS coronavirus 2 cases. That's going to mean more people in the hospital. Ultimately, that's going to mean more people dying of COVID, but it's also potentially going to mean more people dying of other things when they can't seek medical care, they can't access the medical care that they might need for a heart attack or a car accident because our healthcare system is overwhelmed.
So thank you for noting that. We've health officials have found the variant in California, Colorado, Florida, now New York, as I said. Should we just assume, though, that it is far more widespread at this point across the country?
I think that we should. And again, the reason that we haven't detected this is not because it was in the UK and then it got brought over here. It may have been here even before it was in the UK. We just actually don't know because we're not doing enough genomic surveillance. And what that means is we're not sequencing enough of the viruses from the various cases that are popping up in the US.
And in a perfect world, how would that process even work?
So in the UK, how this works is they sequence about 10% of the viruses that are causing new cases of SARS coronavirus 2. And that's because they have dedicated funding to do that type of genomic surveillance. We don't have that dedicated funding, at least not in large quantities in a national network around the country. So really, when viruses get sequenced here, it's because somebody has some extra money to do that, or because they have a small grant to sequence just the viruses that are spreading within that community. Overall, as I said, the UK sequences about 10% of the viruses that they have. We sequence about 0.3%, so considerably fewer. I think what people should understand about this is that genomic surveillance is not just useful for detecting these new variants early, but that's going to be even more important as we roll out the vaccine to more people, because we will really need to know if any variants are emerging that might potentially be able to evade immunity produced by the vaccines.
Absolutely. Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist with Georgetown University, thank you very much for your insights.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Peter.